Right now, once again, it's time to bring a person that joins us every Monday morning at this time, and that is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. And we talk about, you got it, food. Good morning, Arthur.
Well, more specifically, oil.
Oil?
Yes, we're talking about oil today, which, you know, is the foundation. Fat is the foundation of almost every cuisine. You change the fat, you can change the whole flavor of a cuisine. So as somebody who cooks a lot of Italian food, I tend to use a lot of olive oil. Anyway, I'm an olive oil freak, I guess. I try to study olive oil. I took some olive oil lessons years ago, meaning I sat with some olive oil experts and they taught me how to sniff and taste olive oil and what the different qualities were. And I have to say, very sadly, back in that time, 20 years ago, it was really hard to find good olive oil in New York. I do recall in the early 70s going to the Brooklyn Terminal Market, which nobody seems to know about anymore. It's still there, by the way, but there are no produce wholesalers and blah, blah there anymore. Now it's mainly, as far as I can see, it's a place you go to buy plants and Christmas decorations and Christmas trees. But anyway, it is a market. And in the old days, the only extra virgin olive oil that I could find had a label called Madre Sicilia, which, by the way, is still out there, the label anyway. And it was the only extra virgin olive oil you could find. And I only learned about extra virgin olive oil in, I guess, the mid-70s when I became mid-70s? Yeah, I guess it was mid-70s when I became friendly with Marcella Hazan, who, in fact, in her first book, I think even recommends Madre Sicilia because that was like the only one around. Nowadays, you can go to any supermarket in America and find extra virgin olive oil. Now, we used to I had some friends in for dinner last night, and I actually made a dinner in homage to the new extra virgin olive oil that I just got from my friend who grows the trees in Tuscany, Pamela Sheldon Johns. She's American, married to a man who calls himself Johnny Johns. I've never had the nerve to say, Johnny, are you really John Johns? But I think he is. Anyway, they produce together an organic extra virgin olive oil. Get to the meaning of that in a sec. And like I say, I'm obsessed with it. I'm looking to, what can I put this on next? And truly, I'm not cooking with it. It's too precious for that. It's too flavorful for that. You lose a lot when you heat olive oil, when you eat any oil. And the best qualities, the healthy qualities of olive oil, are there when it's pressed at room temperature. We say cold pressed, but it's not really cold. It's just a normal room kind of temperature. And never toyed with. Basically, you're just squeezing out the oil from the olives. These days, the best olive oils are crushed under stone, but then extracted by centrifugal force, not by presses. The old days, the problem with the presses is that no matter how you clean them, there was always, you know, some kind of funk in them. They were straw that the olives were pressed between, and then they were plastic. And, you know, modern day, they're probably still doing this. They use plastic, and then they steam clean them. It's still, it's best to, the centrifugal modern way, it gets you a much cleaner product. In fact, there is some, speaking of cleaner, there is some residue left in freshly pressed olive oil. I mean, I have eaten olive oil literally right off the centrifuge, really. And that's extraordinary. The polyphenols, the healthy qualities of the oil deteriorate with time and exposure to oxygen and light and heat. So I do use extra virgin olive oil to cook with, but not my new oil. My new, and I should add, very expensive oil. So extra virgin. We used to, last night at dinner, my friend Michael, who is extraordinarily knowledgeable about food, he's a world-renowned restaurant consultant. Michael loved this oil, by the way, so I know it was good. Why was they even... Oh, Michael said something about how we used to joke about this term, extra virgin, 25 years ago, when it first started becoming popular. Now, I think it's Rachel Ray who started this EV. Is it... Do they say Evo? I think she says Evo. But it's spelled Evo, E-V-O-O. What would you say, Marshall? Evo or Evo? I don't know. I think Rachel says Evo.
Well, we're talking about olive oil?
Yes, we are.
Then if it's you're talking about olive oil and it might be Italian, it's not Evo.
Well, it's extra virgin olive oil, so it's E-V-O-O. In any case, long before anybody said E-V-O-O, we just said extra virgin, and then everybody laughed. Extra virgin, how could you be extra virgin? Either you are or you aren't. Well, extra virgin refers to a number of qualities in the oil, including, and key, acidity. A good olive oil should be a very low acidity. The international standard is way, way higher than what it should be, I feel, and most olive oil aficionados will tell you. I think it's something like 0.8% acidity, but most really good extra virgin olive oil, the ones that I buy, are 0.4, half that, or even lower, 0.2. The one that I just bought from Pamela Sheldon Johns, I don't know what her percentage is, but I know that she boasts that it's extremely low in acidity. These are, by the way, hand-tended olives. I mean, Johnny and Pamela are out there in the grove picking olives and taking them to the press, the frontoia, and bringing home the oil and letting it sit for 2 weeks before it's bottled so that... the solids in it, and there always are a little bit, settle to the bottom. And if you buy a bottle of olive oil that's cloudy, that's not a bad thing, by the way. But when you cook with it, it's the particles that make up the clouds that might burn, or might, I should say not burn, but have a lower smoking point than the oil itself. It's not true that you should not use olive oil to cook with because it has a low smoking point. It has a high smoking point. It's over 400 degrees, unless it has a lot of particles in it. But if it's, most oil is clear. It's unfortunately filtered, like Pamela's is not. She just lets it settle. And I have used her oil now for 2 years, and there is no residue at the bottom of the bottle or can. I can buy it in hers. She sends it out in cans, too. Oh, by the way, if you want to buy her oil, you go to a website called Olio, O-L-I-O, 2, the number 2, Go. Olio to Go. And they actually have Pamela Sheldon John's oil in a decorative bottle that I love, and I've kept to put other oil in. It's an urn-shaped, very dark green bottle. It's an ideal bottle, not because of its shape, which is nice on my counter, but because it's dark green. And you should keep olive oil in a dark green bottle. And I've used wine bottles. That works great. Any dark bottle. It doesn't have to be green, actually. It could be brown. But you shouldn't keep it near the stove. I see so many people... on TV even, keeping oil right by the stove. No, you don't want the heat that emanates from your stove to get to your oil. So I keep it across the way. My kitchen isn't that big. So all I have to do is turn around to get the oil. So, yeah, you can get it in the decorative bottle, or you can buy it in smaller quantity in cans. Anyway, back to extra virgin. So extra virgin gets such a nice premium for the producer that you don't find virgin olive oil in the stores anymore. I don't see it. I'm not looking for it, but it would come out at me if I saw it. I do see from time to time pure olive oil, which I would never buy except maybe to put on my hair. Because, and the same with pomace oil, by the way, I have seen pomace oil being sold for human consumption, but I was always in the impression that pomace oil is industrial oil and not for eating. And just pure olive oil could be chemically, it probably is, chemically refined, so I don't want that. And as I said, and even virgin olive oil can be processed oil. Just because it's virgin doesn't mean it wasn't processed. But extra virgin should mean that it's not at all processed. And some of the labels will say cold pressed. That's sort of redundant, because if it's extra virgin, it must be, as we say, cold pressed, even though it's not cold. As I said, room temperature. And there are other terms on the bottle. Now, produced in Italy means nothing. Now, I have to say, Spain is the world's largest producer of olive oil. However, I rarely see in a major store Spanish olive oil, extra virgin Spanish olive oil. I have bought Goya, and it's been fine. Not my favorite oil, but as I said at the beginning of this, oil is a taste determinant. So your base oil or fat, be it butter, other oils, is really sort of determines the flavor profile of whatever you're making. I could not think of making an Italian dish without, that calls for olive oil, without Italian olive oil. And truly, if I wanted to make some Spanish food, I probably would go out and buy some Spanish olive oil. And every olive oil tastes a little different. I have to say, you should probably, if you can afford it and you have an interest, buy several oils in the supermarket that you see in smallest bottle possible, and do a little tasting, because your own taste may determine which oil you buy, not so much what's on the label, but your taste. Bob, for instance, he doesn't know this, that he's eating it without him knowing it, but last night he wasn't going to put my new oil, or should say Pamela and Johnny John's new oil, on his roasted peppers, which is what they were there for, to put oil on, and because it has a bitter edge to it, and new oil, depending on where it's from, can have a bitter edge to it. I have put it on salads, and he hasn't complained, but I also have a milder new oil that I bought from Sicily, and I must say my everyday extra virgin olive oil is Partana. Is the brand, Partanna. But the Partanna label is only one of several labels that this company, Saro, I think it's called. I'm just checking that it's Asara or Asaro. Anyway, extra virgin Asaro, I think. You know, I'm checking it, and I'm still not sure. Anyway, Paisano is one of their labels, but there are other labels too. And I'm not going to name names right now because I like this guy. But there's a restaurateur here in New York who sells the oil he uses in his restaurant under his own label, and it's in, and it's extremely expensive. And, you know, he has a name, so the names, people like the name, and they buy it. And I was talking to him about olive oil, and I told him what I've been using, and he said, oh, that's who bottles my oil. But except that I was paying half the price of what this oil was. So price is an indicator. You're not going to, right now, you're not going to find extra virgin olive oil, the good stuff. Probably not going to find it for under $20. I was paying less than that, but everything coming from abroad now has extra shipping fees and blah, blah, I don't need to tell you, has increased in price. So I paid $24 for this company's oil at Whole Foods, where it's not Partana, I think it's Paisano. I paid a lot more than that for the Johnny John, Pamela John oil. But as I said, I'm not cooking with that. Partana is my regular cooking oil, and it's going to cost $20 to $24. And if it's less than that, I'd be suspicious. Some other indicators of really good oil are, did the producer put the harvest on the bottle? A good producer will put, it'll say harvest, and in the year, it's usually 2 years, because the harvest, like for instance, in Sicily, the harvest starts in October and possibly is not ending until January. In Tuscany, the harvest starts really like the end of November and definitely could go into the new year. But usually by the new year, there is new oil in the market. And one of the places I haven't been in a while, to Costco, but right now, if they're still buying Tuscan olive oil at Costco, they had a Tuscan oil coming in the classic square Tuscan bottle, by the way, very reusable, a nice dark green bottle, and it was amazingly well priced. As I said, I haven't been there this year. And they, I guess, get a limited amount because in the years that I was buying it, it was all gone by, not now, but certainly by the end of February. So I actually should get over there, maybe even today, and see. Not that I need any olive oil right now. So how do you use extra virgin olive oil? As I said, it has a smoking point of minimum 400 degrees. There's nothing you're cooking like a cutlet or sautéing vegetables, which I do a lot of. None of those things are going to be over 400 degrees. I would not sear meat in my cast iron skillet using really good any oils for that matter, but not my good extra virgin oil, because then you are trying at least to get the temperature very, 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 very high, smoking. You know, your pan will smoke. Certainly the oil will get heated. So, in fact, I was recalling this morning that the pasta lover's diet, which I used to be on, I call it that, but what it really was the Mediterranean diet on a calorie control basis, a diet plan that I got from a nutritionist in Salerno. And in that diet, you're allowed two tablespoons of olive oil. And I found, I cheated a little bit sometimes. But truthfully, two tablespoons was enough. Excuse me. Well, it was quite enough. The flavor was fabulous because you had to eat the oil raw. The flavor of extra virgin olive oil, to me, is, it's better than truffles. And the aroma, to me, is better than truffles. It added so much. For instance, I was on the pasta lover's diet one of our favorite lunches would be a vegetable, say zucchini, cut into sizable cubes and thrown in the pot with the 2-3 ounces each of pasta. When the pasta was almost done, but not all together, I would throw in the zucchini to cook it a little bit, and then drain it all and dress it with extra virgin olive oil. This is a really sincere, I have to say, with salt. I like hot pepper. Bob likes black pepper. Black pepper suits me too, by the way. Some days, depends. And that's really a good way to use your extra virgin olive oil. Yesterday, I made beans. So I bought these beans for $6.75 a pound. My butcher carries these beans. They're from Pisa. They're from Tuscany. Cannellini beans. And I did, you know what? I've learned over the zillion years that I've been cooking beans that you really do have to watch the pot. So I was very pleased that yesterday I totally succeeded and got these beans to the perfect tenderness, creamy tenderness. And I cooked them Tuscan way, which is first soak them. I do it overnight, meaning at 10 o'clock I put them in water and I started cooking them at around 7 in the morning. And I don't throw out the water. I keep the soaking water. I was once scolded by Diana Kennedy, of all people. Not of all people. She was an American who cooked in Mexico her entire life and knew about beans. So she said, you're throwing away so much nutrition when you throw away the water. And I haven't thrown away the water since. That's 30 years ago. And I think it enhances the broth at the end when you don't. So I soak the beans in plenty of water to cover. The next morning, whatever, I put them in a pot. I like to cook beans in clay, in a clay pot, with at least 1 inch of water above the beans, and put them over medium-high heat until it starts to simmer. In the meantime, I threw in 2 large cloves, for 1 pound of beans, I threw in 2 very large cloves of garlic that I crushed with the heel of my hand a little bit, you know, just to split them, and threw that in the pot. 2 tablespoons, in this case I used my good oil because, remember, water boils at 212. You're not really heating this up high heat. So a couple tablespoons of whatever, extra virgin olive oil. No salt. No pepper. But I use like 3 sprigs of sage. I like fresh sage. If you don't have fresh sage, you actually could put in dry leaf sage, but I would not put in, you know, crushed or rubbed sage. That's just going to muck up the beans. You want something you can pull out at the end. Sprigs of sage are easy to fetch out when the beans are cooked. And that's it. Bring the beans to a very low simmer, and they usually take about an hour at a low simmer, stirring them every once in a while, something to do, and plus it's healthy for the beans to be repositioned, so to speak, and that's it. And as I say, usually takes about an hour. The beans should be very tender. Here's the thing about beans. They firm up as they cool off. So you want them actually a little softer than you really want them to be, and that could take a good hour. Actually, my beans took a little more than an hour because I kept adjusting the heat, and I cooked it so low that it took about an hour and 10 minutes. In any case, you just leave the beans, let them come to room temperature. Oh, put salt in at the end. I would say after 45, 50 minutes, you're going to see that the beans are not quite done, but they're getting there. And at that point, you can put in a teaspoon of salt. I use sea salt. It's a salty salt. So a teaspoon of salt. And you can always add a little more salt and towards the end more. So let it cook for another 10 minutes and then taste again. And the the soup, the juice, should always be above the beans. So at some point, you're probably going to have to add a little water. Increase the heat under the pot a little bit and drizzle in the water so that the pot doesn't stop boiling. And you could add as much as a cup more of, or even more than that, actually, depending on the pot. I cook mine in a very wide clay pot, so I get evaporation quicker than if you were cooking it in a tall, narrow pot. Of course, you don't have to use a clay pot. You can use, I would say you need a 4-quart pot. A Dutch oven is good. And you don't want to cook them covered. You want to cook them uncovered. So eventually, as the beans plump up, you will see that you will almost certainly need more liquid. So you have to watch them. So my watched pot of beans turned out great, I've got to say. We ate that with the extra virgin olive oil. And then we had the new oil. And then we had roasted peppers. I couldn't believe how inexpensive the peppers were. My butcher also carries some produce and grocery items. And he had peppers from Mexico. I trust Mexico on sweet red peppers because they invented it, whereas Holland did not. So the Holland peppers to me are just beautiful and expensive, whereas the Mexican peppers are not necessarily beautiful, although to me they are, but they're usually sweet, flavorful, even in the middle of the winter, peppers. So we had roasted peppers. I threw them in the oven at 450. These took about 25 minutes. Sometimes they're only 20 minutes. You want the skins to be charred. I throw them in a pot, cover the pot. You can do a bag. People use bags for this. And let them cool down. They'll steam in their own moisture. And peel them, deseed them, core them. I lay them out on a platter, salting each layer. If you're eating them right away, salt them. If you're not eating them right away, I did not. I made these on Saturday afternoon, and I just put them on the platter without salt because salt will draw out some moisture, which you don't want to do at this point. So the next day I salted them and put some parsley on them, whole leaves actually, because it looks good. And also, parsley doesn't have that much flavor. I like having a whole leaf of parsley. Then you can taste it. And extra virgin olive oil. And if you wanted, pepper. I could have put garlic on that, too, but I really was featuring the oil. And then I also made broccoli rabe, which I did not use my best oil on, not the new oil. I used my everyday, but still excellent, Partana in that. So I boil my broccoli rabe. It's not bitter. I put it in an enormous pot of water so that the oil will come back to a boil right away. And I count 5 minutes from when it comes back to a boil, even a simmer, and then it'll be a full boil. And then drain it. And then before we eat it, I smother it, would be the Italian word, in olive oil and garlic, and usually hot pepper. But I was hoping Bob was going to eat this. He did not. So I left out the hot pepper, and we put it on at the table. So, yeah, and then we had a pasta dish. I'm not going to get into that. Hmm. But, you know, the oil itself and bread. We had this amazing whole wheat bread that I buy. I don't bake. It's funny because my friend asked me, "Oh, where is this bread from?" And I said, "Oh, you know," and I told her the bakery, which is a bakery in Soho called Grand Daisy. I have never been to the bakery. I only learned recently that the baker who owns Grand Daisy, is an acolyte of another baker who is highly regarded, And anyway, I didn't know nothing about this. I only know that I love the bread, which she calls integrale, which is the Italian word for whole wheat. So it's a whole wheat loaf, and if you toast it or not, it is a great receptacle for new extra virgin olive oil.
All right.
By the way, I've never been to an Italian restaurant where they served oil to dunk your bread into. Italians do not do that in a restaurant. You might do it in your home kitchen, but not in a restaurant. Except one. There is a place in Rome that has literally a tourist dining room. If they hear you speak English, they put you in the tourist dining room, and there they'll sell you some olive oil and bread to dunking.
All right. All we need
all
to
right,
know.
Well, good luck to you today.
All right. Thank you.
And everybody in... You know, investigate olive oil. It's so healthy.
All right. We'll speak to you next week, Arthur.
Bye.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, right here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.